fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 1. Came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there unto this day. Let us pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you again today for the scripture, the word of God. This is your word, Father. We believe that with all of our heart. What we've read to the people tonight is your word. And Father, you've left it for us. You've ordained it, Lord. You've pinned it down through men that you've used to do that. But it's come from you, guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And now, Father, tonight we have the privilege of bringing a message, Lord, concerning this portion of scripture. So we ask you, God, for your help and your power and your wisdom. We ask you to do that tonight, which you've appointed to be done. I trust, Lord, that every heart, every one of us, Lord, will be open to what you've got for us. And Lord, that we'll be willing to listen and be stirred by the Holy Spirit of God to be better for you tomorrow than we've ever been before in our life. Now we thank you again for your wonderful grace and what you're doing, what you've done, what you're doing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I also want to read verse number 19 of that same chapter. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Tonight I'm going to preach a message, and I've just entitled it, Setting Up a Memorial. I want you to listen to your preacher tonight. You know, this week, the last couple weeks, as you know, we've had little health problems, and I was give me time to reflect and think about things. I think that's what you should do. When things come into your life, you ought to stop, you ought to look at it, you ought to say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to know? And I believe God did that. Now, God did not appear to me like he did Hezekiah and say, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He didn't do that, but he didn't also say my course was finished. So I was encouraged about that, you know. But anyway, I was sitting in my study this week, and it seemed like, and you know, I was pondering things, thinking about things, kind of preparing for the weekend, and it seemed like that just the great peace of God came over me, a great calm just flooded my soul. And it was like God said, now I don't know how he talks to you, but he just seemed like he said, it's okay. And that's all matters to me. It's okay. And you know, I'd rather have the sweet peace and calm of God than I would anything else in the world. And so I don't know what the future holds. So I want you to know that as I preach this message, I'm not getting ready to step off the scene. I may, but I'm not getting ready to. Amen. If they're taking up a train load, I'm going to try to wait till the next one. But anyway, we don't know what's going to happen. But what I'm saying is I got a message tonight I want to preach to you as the pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me well. This church is very, very, very important to me. You may not understand it all, but way back there in the beginning, of course, I was there when it began. And we've watched its progress down through the years. And I've seen what God has done here in this place. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's great what God has done. And I'm amazed to watch and see step by step what God does. And I'm thankful for it and grateful for what the Lord has done over these many years. This church is 31 years old now. America's 228 years old, if I've got my math right. I think it's 228 years old. We're 31 years old. But it takes a lot to get a country to where it is. It takes a lot to get a church to where it is. It takes a lot of defending the faith to keep it where it is. It takes a lot of work that maybe some of you don't even understand to keep a church on the right line, to keep it going down the right path, the old paths of righteousness. And so it takes a lot. It's not something that just happens. It's something that has to be planned and worked at. It's the way it was in America. And of course, it's discouraging, or I might say alarming to me, to see America today and to see the direction, the deterioration of America from what it was and what it was intended to be. That's alarming to me. It's still a great country. I know that. It's a great country. Thank God for this great country. But it is alarming to me to see the deterioration of it. It's also alarming to me to see the deterioration of churches that were founded much back in during the same time that Blessed Hope Baptist Church was founded, plus times before that was founded. See the deterioration that's going on in many of those churches. We're seeing it. You may not understand that, but we're seeing it. And then when there's people like John R. Rice's daughter, Joy Martin, that comes out and prints and publishes a letter in Jerry Falwell's paper, and just coming down on Sheldon Smith, the editor of The Sword of the Lord, I say to her, shame on her. And she's trying to convince us that her daddy would not do the things Sheldon Smith did. Her daddy stood as fast and strong as Sheldon Smith is standing. And we're hearing this, and shame on her, and shame on Jerry Falwell for printing it. But that just seems to be part of the foolishness that's going on. You always have within your midst, whether that is a group of Christians in America or whether that's a local church, you always have in your midst, you always have a people that doesn't want to go that direction. And they would like to see things kind of switch and kind of getting a little more lax. Someone told me the other day, said, Brother Ross, so-and-so just don't like you. And I said, that's nothing new. And I wondered why they didn't like me. But here's the whole thing. This person is a reprobate. This person is a whoremonger. Why would I expect this person to like me? And in fact, I would worry if he did like me. I would be worrying about myself if he did. So I'm not too concerned about where folk like me or not. We've been down the road way too far, around the block too many times to worry about a few folks that want to see something different in our church and want to head it in a different direction. And as long as I can stand and do and what I'm supposed to do, it's going to stay there. And I trust it's going to stay there after my demise. It's going to stay there. I don't know what Jerry will do in the future. We never know what God will do with Jerry. We don't know that. But if God leaves him here, he'll stand straight. He'll stand on the things of the Word of God, and it'll be all right. But he'll always have battles to fight, just like I've always had battles to fight, where people want to head it in another direction. And that, of course, is always a concern, and you just got to keep on doing right no matter what happens. But you're always going to have those opposing you. No matter where you are, who you are, you're always going to have those opposing you. My concern is, it has been for a long time, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I worry about, and when I say worry, I'm not talking about a sit around and fret, but I'm concerned about the future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm concerned about those who's coming up behind us. And I want you prepared to be ready to take over and carry the banner high. And you've got to be prepared. It just don't happen all at once when something happens and all at once, here I am, boy, you can depend on me. No, we got to depend on you way before anything happens. You got to be prepared to stand for the things of faith, Contend for the faith. And you got to be prepared to do that. So it's my desire to see people who's coming up behind us prepared. Amen. I want you to have a little understanding of what it took to bring Blessed Hope to this place in its history. And I want to tell you, it wasn't something that just developed and happened. It's something that was fought for all of these years. And it's going to keep it there. It's going to have to be continued battle to fight for the rest, for what God has done here, and to keep it going in the right direction. So what I'm saying to you folks is I don't want your sympathy. I don't need your sympathy. But what I do know is I want you to know some of the battles that we have fought down through the years. And I want you to be prepared to fight some of those same battles. And not let off. Because if you don't fight them, I want to tell you something. Ground that's won and not defended will soon be lost. You got to defend your ground. You can't let it fall into the enemy's hands. Amen. And so if you don't, you're going to lose the ground. So you got to defend it. You got to stand for the things of the Lord. So I'm saying to you, I look at it, and when I say young people, I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm not even just talking about the youngest of adults. I'm talking about those that are probably younger than I am. That we've got to understand something. We've got to prepare to fight the battles and continue to go on as we've done for years and not give up. We need you young people, we young adults, we need you to stand for the things of God and to battle. We need you to do that. You see, the Bible says that the glory of the young men is their strength. The Bible says, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. We know that as we get older, we're supposed to have more wisdom. That's what he's talking about on the gray head. The older men have wisdom, the young men have strength. We need your strength. Will you remember something for me? We still have, us older folk, still have our visions and our dreams for what we believe that God wants to be done. But we need your strength to help accomplishment. We don't have the strength that we used to have, but we still have the visions. We have the dreams of what God wants, but we need your strength. You see, we still need the Joshuas to go down into the valley and fight while we go up on the mountain there and hold our hands up toward God. We still need the Aarons and the Urs to sometimes even come and hold our hands up. But we need the Joshuas to go down into the valleys and fight. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, if you don't learn to fight, if you're not willing to fight the battle, the Christian battle, to keep this church going in the right direction, it will not go that away. It's a battle. And as I said, there's always those who would just like to see it let off. just kind of go a little bit different direction. There's always that. But we cannot do that. And we need young men to step up. And I'm not just talking about, boy, and that would be great. You come to an altar and you say, God, I'm here. And that's what you should do. But it's not a matter of just coming one time and doing that. It's a matter of living it day in and day out. And standing for the things of faith. And doing right. Amen. And not letting anybody deter you from the road that God has given us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church here in Jacksonville, Indiana. Amen. You see, and we need you to help us. I think about Abraham when he went and God told him, said, you go up and offer your son Isaac up there on that mountain. And I always say, I don't know whether you ever noticed it or not, but in that portion of scripture, the Bible says that two young men went with Abraham and Isaac. Took two young men with him. And they helped in the work that got them over to the mountain. And he told the young men, he said, now you wait right here until we go up and we worship God. And of course, we know what was going to happen up there. He's going to offer Isaac up and all that happened up there on that mountain. But anyway, and then they came back down and it mentions that the two young men went, of course, home with him. He helped them to get home. What I'm saying to you, we need you to help us to our mountains. We need you to help us as we go up on the mountain and offer up our Isaacs. And when we've done with that, we need you to help us to get back home. We need the young men. You hear me? Jonathan, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but I'm reminded of Jonathan when, and I know it's in 1 Samuel, but I can't remember what chapter, but Jonathan was going to go over and fight the Philistines, and the Bible talks about his armor bearer went with him. And at one place there in that scripture, it's interesting, said the Bible even says about a half acre. That an oxen, I think he said, would plow. And that's where he fought and killed 20. Jonathan killed him and his armor bearer, killed 20 of the Philistines. But it talks about that armor bearer, and it says he was a young man. He was the armor bearer of Jonathan. And he helped Jonathan go and fight the battle and fight in the battle. But the Bible mentioned that he was a young man. What I'm saying to you is, we need your strength. We need your help. Understand? We need you to step up. Okay? You see, I believe something. We need you to follow us as we've followed those who went before us. From the very beginning of my ministry, I've looked up to men of God. I used to go to those Sword of Lord conferences and hear old John R. Rice preach. And, Joy Martin, don't tell me what John R. Rice believed. Don't tell me he was a liberal. I used to hear him preach and scold everybody, including me. Amen. I've heard him. I heard him too many times. The old men of the faith, and I looked up to them, and I followed them the best I could to be the kind of people they were, to stand in the gap and do what's right. And what I'm saying to you is, you need to do the same thing. You need to follow. You need to stand in the gap and follow and help us as we go on for God. Amen. Not just be a bystander, but to be somebody that will stand in the gap and walk with God and help us to continue this church in the direction it's going, to keep it right down the line, to see to it that it doesn't deviate and go off to the side, get all liberal or anything else, but keep on going on for God. We need you to do that, you see. We need you, when one of these days God does decide to take us out of the battle, we need you to gather in the banner that we've been carrying before it hits the ground. And you can't carry that battle if you're not, or that banner if you're not prepared to carry it. You can't all at once, when that happens, be prepared. You've got to prepare way ahead of time to get ready to carry the banner of the Lord, you see. And we need to know, we older generation needs to know, that you're going to continue to charge hell's gate. You're going to grab that banner and you're going to go on. You're going to charge. And you're not going to quit. See, we need to know that. See, we've been, and I don't know how long some of us, but some of us that started this church has already gone over. Some of the older folks are already on over there in heaven. Amen. Now, I don't know how long God will leave us. He may leave us a long time, but it doesn't matter. You need to prepare. You need to get ready. You need to get ready to grab that banner and carry it on. Amen. As it's supposed to be. Not as some liberal comes along and wants it to be. Amen. We need you to hold it high and continue the charge. Amen. So I want you to do something. I want you to do something else. I want you to see to it that there is those coming up behind you that will take the banner when you're gone. See, this thing concerns me. What's coming up? What's coming up behind you? Are you seeing to it? Are you training those of your children to come on and stand fast in the gap? Are you training them to do that, or you let them to become liberals? They don't want to stand for anything. I've told you, I preached a sermon back here. We're not duplicating. No, we're not duplicating. You see, many people have been strong in the faith. They've walked with God. They've stood for God. And I mean, they've walked a good, faithful life. But they never demanded that of their children. No, you got to keep the generations going. You got to teach them. You got to train them. We've got to keep this thing going. One of these days, we're going to walk off the scene. You're going to walk off the scene. And there's going to be a generation that's right now sitting as young children here that's going to be up here ready to go. Are they going to be ready? You've got to see to it that they're ready. You've got to train them and do everything you can to see to it that they'll be ready. You've got to train them that this King James Bible is the Bible, the Word of God. Not only do you believe it, but you've got to train your children to believe it. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just quit, folks. You've got to train your children. This is the Bible, the Word of God. And you train your children and they'll train their children and keep this thing going and going and going on for the Lord, you see. Will you be willing to stand steadfast against liberalism? And teach those who come from behind to also stand fast against liberalism? You see, it don't take much slipping to mess up everything. See, you've got to train. You've got to decide, I'm not going to be a liberal. And then you've got to decide that my children are not going to be liberals. They're going to walk with God. Or this whole thing. See, that's happened all over this country. You look around at some of these old churches that's been in existence for a good little bit, and all at once, why is it they don't do anything for God? Why is it they're sitting out there and no one's hardly coming, but the ones do come never go out and win a soul for Christ? They don't do anything for God. They have a revival meeting once in a while, but they don't, on a daily basis, they don't do anything for God. Right. Why? Because they've let that happen. Right. Generations has come up and it's developed. It's happened. We can't allow that to happen. Amen. Amen. Will you remember that compromise in just one area starts a process that's hard to stop? You know how many times I've heard, Brother Ross, you know, you're just too hard. You ought to let off on this just a little bit. Sure, let off on it just a little bit. Then it'd be something else, something else, something else, something else, and something else, and something else, and never stop. It's always something. See, you start off, you start compromising, and it won't be long. You'll just be compromising all over the place. Instead, you ought to be happy. You ought to be glad that we stand on the things of God. Stand fast on the Word of God. I've had people tell me this before, Pastor Ross, I'm so glad that you stand fast. It gives me great security. I feel secure. A congregation feels secure when their pastor will stand. And it gives them the boldness to stand. Amen. So you can't quit. You see, you can't do that. We've just got to keep on, you see, no matter what anybody else says. You know, I've heard this all of my life. You think I've been around the block a few times? I've heard this all of my life. I've heard people, you know, and down on the pastor, down on this, trying to start little schisms amongst the church, you know. And, you know, if the pastor wasn't so strong on this and wasn't this and that, wasn't doing that, you know, a bunch of baloney. Right. Tell them to go fly a kite. Amen. Tell them to get right with God. Right. And don't let them do that mess. Right. See, they do it in such a nice, sweet way. You know, they're so nice, kind little people. No, they're not either. They're devil's workers. trying to cut the standards and the ways that God would have this church to go. This has been established 31 years ago. We don't need it to change. Amen? See, we need to know. This older generation needs to know something. We need to know that you will dedicate yourselves to the building of God's work and not the world's domain. We need to know this, that you are willing to establish, not only to help establish the work of God here, but to keep it going and build it. And it's more important than the world's work, Pharaoh's cities. The work of God is more important. We need you to be more concerned about lost souls than the world's riches and pleasures. Would you listen to me? I've been so discouraged. I've been so discouraged. This thing we started this a good little bit ago. And we started giving out of the mission fund. We started giving to college students that was going to go off and do something for God. They was going to go to college, and we was going to help them $50 a month. And we was going to help them. And I think we should. I think it's a good thing. I think it was a good program. I think it was right. I think it was good. And it started off good. Started off wonderful. We've had some good results. We've seen people go on and come back and do things for God, and go on other places and do things for God. But I just want to put you on notice. I'm talking about every college student that's here in this place. I'm not talking about one. I'm not talking about two. I'm talking about every one of you. I do not understand somebody that wants $50 from this church out of the mission fund that comes home in the summertime and won't even go soul winning. Not only do I not understand it, we are not going to do it. You think we're going to support you to go play around? You don't want to do something for God? Go make your own living. What in the world do you think you're doing? That money was given by hard-working people into the mission fund of this church. And we took that money out and gave it to you to go and be a blessing and do something for God and say that you're called of God to work for God and do something for God. And then you don't want to even soul winning. You don't want to do anything. Baloney. This church is not going to support you. We'll support somebody that wants to do something for God. Shame on you for stealing money. It's what you're doing. And we're not going to do it. I'm going to support those who want to do something. Who will do something. I don't know what to. I don't even understand why I would even have to say that. Used to, I wouldn't even have to say that. People come home from college. I mean, the other day, Caleb came in to see me. The other day, he came in and said, Pastor, I said, I want to get involved in the soul winning. And I want to, you know, and he gave me some ideas what he had because his schedule won't always allow him. There's somebody who's got him working and won't always allow him to be on Saturday, you know. But he said, I want to get involved in this. What can I do? And we talked about it and we discussed it. That's the way it ought to be. But I just want to be on notice. On notice. We're not going to do it. No way. These people and their money out here means too much to me. The mission fund means too much to me. That's money given into missions. And we've got a better use for it. We'll send some missionary out on the field somewhere. But I don't even understand why I would have to say that. Why in the world would this preacher even have to get up and address that? It's beyond anything I can imagine. Amen? See, we need to know that you're more concerned about lost souls than you are the world's riches and pleasures. I want you to go with me to Exodus, 10th chapter. And you know, when I was talking about that, I'm not talking about once in a while just show up for soul winning once in a while. I'm talking about regular. Be there. Be a soul winner. Get in the work of God. Amen. 10th chapter, the book of Exodus, verse 8 and 9. It says, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flock and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord." Now, you know when this was. It's when they was getting ready to be turned loose out of Egypt and they was wanting to go out and worship God. Now, I read that to you, but I want you now to go over to Exodus, the eighth chapter, and I want to just read verse number 25. It says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet to do. We shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Now listen to me. What we need to know as an older generation, we need to know that this younger generation is willing to separate from the world. They was going to go out into the wilderness, 3 days' journey. We need to know that you're willing to be a separate and get away from this old world and walk away from the things of the world. That's the only way you're ever going to keep a good, solid, independent, fundamental church going in this area is separate from the world. In verse 28, we need to know all also that you're willing to go all the way. That you're not going to leave anything behind. You're willing to go on out and get out of the world and walk away from the world. That's what we need. That's what God's looking for. I want you also to look at chapter 10, verse number 8. He says, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flock and with our herds, and we will go, and we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you." We've got to go not only all the way for God, you've got to take your children with you. You don't take your children with you, their generations are going to run out. You can't be willing. I told you that earlier, folks. That's what's going on all across America. We're living a good Christian life, but we don't want to expect our children to live it. We better expect our children to live it. We better expect them to live for God and walk with God and take them with us out of this old world. Moses said, we're not going if we can't take our little ones. Amen. And then in chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offering, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And our cattle also shall go with us." Let me say something to you. We need you to sacrifice your material things for God's work. He said, "Oh, you can go. You can even take your children, but leave your cattle here." Satan is doing now to the Christian. He wants you to go ahead, serve God, but don't support the work of God. Leave that money in the world. Buy more things and more things and more things and enjoy this and enjoy that instead of serving God. What I'm saying to you, we need a generation that's going to come up behind us and say, we're going to support the work of God. How do you think these buildings got here? Listen, some of us here can still remember going out into this field right out here, and there was a big old brush pile out there and an old stick of wood sticking up and had a look like a cross on it. Remember that, Brother Charles? You remember that? And we walked out there and we looked at that and we said, this is where God wants the church to be built. We still remember that. We remember cleaning up this place. We remember burning that pile of brush and getting it started. We remember digging the basement of this place. We remember those things. We have not forgot them. How do you think all of this just come in being? Right. Amen. Yeah. Right.
You understand? It takes material things. It takes the material blessings that God has given his people to do that, and we've got to learn to sacrifice. There has been much sacrifice given in this place. That's why you see this place here. And it's going to take sacrifice to go on for God. Amen. It's going to take not just giving once in a while. It's going to take sacrifice and giving of our tithes and our offerings to support the work of God and get this work done around here. That it's more important than this old world's things. Turn with me over to 1 Chronicles, please. Chapter 22. Verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones and build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the door of the gates, and for the joining and the brass in abundance without weight. And also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And listen what it says in verse 5. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. What I'm saying to you, we need you to understand something. We didn't prepare all of this to give you a rest home. It's not a retirement house. We need you to know it's a base camp from which to work from. It's a place, you see, where you need to continue to build. We're not giving you a finished work. We're giving you a work to be finished. For it's not done. And it won't be till Jesus comes. You see, it's the Lord's work. And it's a magnificent work. The fame and glory of the Lord must go forth throughout all the countries through missionaries from this place. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You understand why all this was built and why all of these years of fighting and battling took place? Do you have any understanding why? It's not just to give it over to a bunch of liberals or to a bunch of people who couldn't care less about the work of God. You see, what we're doing like David did. The older generation is preparing a place so you can continue to build. You can continue in the work. Go with me, 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, "Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold and of gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal." Verse number 5, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers and who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord. You see, we need you to understand something. As an older generation, we are not saying we are perfection. We have our weaknesses, but we need you to help strengthen our weaknesses. But we need you to recognize our strengths and to build off of our strengths, not to tear it down. Not to take this place that God has used multitudes of people to help build. We do not need you to whittle away at it and tear it down. We need you to help build it even stronger than it has ever been before. We need to know as an older generation that what we have sacrificed for will not be lost or just maintained, but we'll go on and go forward for the glory of God. It's not enough to maintain a work. It must go forward. And we need to know, as this older generation needs to know, that that's what's in your heart that you want to do. Not only want to do, are willing to do and willing to sacrifice to do. You notice in verse 1 that I just read you, 1 Chronicles 29 chapter, said, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." I want you to remember something. This work of God that was begun here was not for man. It was for God. And in verse number 2, we also need you to understand that you must prepare those who are following you to be ready to take over. You can't just live right yourself. You've got to prepare those that's coming up. You've got to help them to understand what it means to stand for God. They are not ready. Let me tell you this. They are not ready to take over. They are not ready to lead. And many of you are not ready to lead, but you need to be preparing to be ready to lead. You need to be getting ready. That takes work. That takes preparation. Amen. And he says in verse number 3 that I read to you, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." We need to know that you're willing to set your affection to the house of God. This is what you should love. You should love the work of God. And if you do, it'll show out in your actions. Don't tell me you love the work of God and the house of God when you won't even show up for the services, when you won't even be a part of the work of God. You won't sacrifice, you won't do, you won't live, you won't walk with God, and you won't be a part of the work here of this church, and tell me you love it. You do not. No, sir. Proof of love is actions and what you do, not what you say. And look at verse number 5. He says, "The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all the manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers." You know what I'm saying to you? You need to give us your hands. The hands of the artificers made all of these things. You need to give us your hands, not just your talk. We need your hands to help us develop this place, to work and go forward in this place, and to get the work done that needs to be done around here. We need you young men and young people's hands and young ladies' hands. And then if you look in verse number 5 also, if you notice at the last of that, he says, "And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord?" We need you to give your hearts unto the Lord. See, if your hearts are given unto the Lord, we won't have to worry about your hands. I won't have to worry about them if you give your hearts unto the Lord. Folks, this is the Lord's work. Isn't it more important than Pharaoh's work, than the world's work? Doesn't it deserve a big portion of your time and efforts? This pastor understands people have to make a living. I've said this so many times. That is not the problem. I understand you have to make a living. I understand all those things. But folks, you ought to put that thing in balance. The work of God also must be accomplished. Amen. I want you to go with me still. I'm wound up. I said, Jerry, I don't want that chair there tonight. There's no way I can sit down and preach this message. 1 Samuel, please. 2nd chapter. 2nd chapter, verse Let's see, verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And the priest and custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he stuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. And so they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. And listen to what he says. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. You see what it was caused? Their sin caused people to abhor the offering of the Lord, to have despite for the work of God. I'll read over in verse number 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. The Bible says they was laying with the women. Tabernacle's door. Sin had gotten in, bring a report, reproach to God's work. And what I'm saying is this, young men, young people, older men, older people, we need you to remember that sin brings a report, a reproach to the work of God. We need you to love your wives and your husbands and to be faithful and loyal to them. We need you to build strong families for a strong church, because without strong families, they will not be a strong church. A church can have a facade on it that it may look great, it may look good, it may have all the looks from the outside, but when there's sin in the camp, I want to tell you, it's nothing but a facade. And we need you to love your families and live the good, rich, pure lives. We need you to, as the book of Proverbs said, not be young men void of understanding, which was led to the harlot's house, the house of death and hell. We need you to seek wisdom and forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. We need you to prepare now to lead in the future. Now prepare, or you won't be ready to lead in the future. The future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church depends upon your willingness to contend for the faith, to fight the good fight. You see, everybody wants to think that this Christian life is just nothing but a little game. It is not. It is a fight all the way. Been preaching for 35 years and spent a 35-year battle. No, I'm telling you, it's been a 35-year battle. Has there been good times in there? Sure, there's been good times. Has there been some times when you was up on the mountaintop? Yes, sir. But I want to tell you, there's many times we've been down in the valley fighting. We need you to, having done all, to stand, stand. We need you not to turn back in the day of battle. We need you not to quit and be a quitter. We need you to stay in the race and not sit on the sidelines. You don't do anybody any good but sitting on the sidelines. We need you to get in the race and do the work that needs to be done. Be a part of that work. We need you to win souls. Now, we need you to win souls. We need you to knock on doors. Yes, sir, I'm Pastor Ross, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We'd like to give you something. I'd like to tell you about somebody. I've been doing that for 35 years. Never been a time I've been sorry for that. I told Jerry, I said, I'm going to try to be out on visitation this next week. I'm going to be sure and try to be out there. Doctor did tell me to kind of take it easy for a little while, but I'm going to be on visitation. Lord willing, I'm going to be on visitation. I'm going to knock on some doors next Saturday. I even knocked on one door this Saturday. I couldn't stand it. I went out and made a visit. But I just made one. But I intend, that's my intention, is to be in my place, to go soul winning next. Well, we're going to have a work day. Well, we'll do some soul winning some other time. There's always other times to do soul winning. Amen. But I'm just simply saying, we need you to win souls. We need you to knock on doors. We need you to witness to your neighbors, to your friends and your old acquaintances. Folks, there's all kinds of people out there that you know that are not saved. No, you know them. They're not saved. We need you to get busy for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, especially for God's sake, but for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and help it to grow. Knock on some doors. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Talk to your acquaintances. Invite them to the house of God. Tell them about Christ. Do that week after week after week after week after week. We need you to, wherever your place of work is to talk to people at your place of work. Yes, Angie Sagersy was telling me here the other day, she won a lady to the Lord again over at the Brazil Hospital during her work time. One of the men that she won to the Lord over in the hospital there at Brazil, Indiana, not too many months back, died. What if she hadn't have told him about Christ? Now, we need you, younger generation. I'm not just talking about teenagers. Don't tell me about the teenagers. We need you. We need you all to knock on some doors and tell your neighbors about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we need you to get excited about this work. This is where God has put us. He didn't put us in another church. He put us here. We need to be excited about the work of God right here. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to be excited about it. Enough to do everything we can to help it to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And to get people come in and hear about Jesus and be saved. That's what was on my heart. I believe with all my heart, we need you. Young people, we need you. Now when I say young, you remember something. I'm not talking about just teenagers. I get tired of all of them being dumped on the teenagers. Just the teenagers need to do this. We all need to do it. Amen. We need to get busy for God. Amen. Because if we don't, and you need to stand for the things of faith, quit being a griper and a complainer and a grumbler. Stand up for the things of God and help this church go on for God. Amen. If you're a complainer and a grumbler, I'm not much interested in what you got to say. I really couldn't care less what you say. Just unimportant to me. But we need to go on for God. We want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to continue in the way that it's been going and get even better. Because we need to. We need to get better. We need to go on for God. Do more for God. You remember something. We older generation not leaving you someplace as a rest home. It's a base camp to work from. Not to enjoy. Well, we got all of this. Hey, amen. I can set back baloney. There needs to be more done. Amen. More done for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure I'm even saved. I don't know if I died today whether I go to heaven or not. But I'm concerned. We should pray for me. Will you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. See, Brother Ross, you know, as you preach tonight, I want to be part of that generation. I want to step up. I want to do what's right because it's right to do. I want Blessed Hope to just go on, be the kind of church it should be. Continue to be a fortress, a place where people can come and learn about Jesus, be saved. And, you know, I need to just maybe just rededicate my life tonight just to say, I need to be a part of that. Or maybe I haven't been doing that, but I want to start. I want to do that. Just raise your hand. God touched your head, heart tonight. Just raise your hand and say, I want to do a part of that. I want to do that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, again tonight, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. Father, protect us. We need your help. Lord, I would trust. I would ask you, please, to work on people's hearts. Lord, don't let them be satisfied with mediocre living. Don't let them be satisfied with that. But Father, they'll be sold out to the Lord. They'll be willing to step up, take their place, grab the banner, and be willing to prepare to lead one of these days. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.